is Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to weigh in. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you this Saturday evening, it's Aria.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
And there's a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of Bitcoin-related stuff, and obviously a lot of COVID stuff. I mean, if we run out of interesting, useful stuff to talk about, like Bitcoin and stuff like that, there's always COVID stuff to talk about. However, I want to start
And government false flags. We could always talk about that.
That's true. You want to talk about the January 6th thing that they're calling an insurrection or a riot or whatever.
And the worst thing ever. Worst event in American history.
We weren't outright called insurrectionists for the New Hampshire independence hearing that we had Thursday, but I think it was the WMUR article did use the word insurrectionist to describe us. Another article, I think from NHPR, that's New Hampshire Public Radio, described us as separatists. So these people are bending over backward to use the word insurrectionist. I mean, we're talking about a bunch of people attending a hearing for a bill.
You'll keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Like, this is not an insurrection. An insurrection's a very particular thing that none of us want to do.
Certainly not, but they don't understand that. But I just found this other article that's just so silly it's worth talking about. A teen's solo transatlantic flight is calling attention to wasteful ghost flights. Now, the article there is a bit unclear, but what they're referring to here is that a 19-year-old flew from London to Florida and was the only person on the entire airplane for the 9-hour flight, other than the pilots and the flight crew.
And I'm sure still had to wear a mask.
I don't know.
I'm betting you anything.
Probably.
But I could keep social distance, unlike all your other flights.
The cabin crew said, "I was the only person on board the flight," Forsyth wrote in a TikTok video about his trip on January the 9th. Indeed, he pans his phone from left to right, and a sea of empty seats fills the frame.
Makes me wonder if there are other flights where no one is going. And, I mean, how would you ever know?
Meanwhile, the crew appeared to dote on the sole traveler. It's too bad he wasn't 21, man, because, I mean, you already get pretty good treatment on flights if you fly like first class or premium or business class or whatever. But if you're the only person on an international flight and you're over 21, dude, they're going to be constantly serving you drinks just because you keep drinking them. So they brought him an unlimited supply of airplane snacks, and at least one flight attendant binged on popcorn and movies with him.
That's great.
It was 8 hours, so I set up a bed, literally the comfiest I've ever been on a plane, he added. Well, yeah, dude, you had the entire airplane to yourself. I imagine it was quite comfortable.
Yeah, it turns out when you're not stuck into the design of a sardine can, it's more fun.
I'm hoping he didn't pay for a first class ticket and he was in like economy or something and they were like, let's upgrade this one passenger. Because it's not like those first class seats were being used.
Right.
So,
and they do that a lot of the time is just, well, no one's up here, so we'll just upgrade whoever's back there.
From what I can tell, they do it anytime they have empty seats in first grade. They upgrade someone from premium and then they use people from the main cabin to fill the premium. Presumably so they can sell an extra, you know, main seat. I don't know why they do it, but they do it.
Well, no, I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, you don't want it to seem like, first class is an unpopular option. There's only a couple of us still choosing this. And then people start thinking, is this really worth paying the whatever it costs to upgrade?
It's basically twice as much. It basically doubles the price of your ticket to fly first class.
Right. So, I mean,
I can also tell you it is worth it. You get to get right off the plane. Like as soon as you land and as soon as they get that thing connected, you get to get off that can of sardines. And that's almost invaluable. But if you get the right seat, you can make eye contact with the flight attendants while they're just doing their stuff, or you can just get their attention and they will just come and ask you what you want, right? Or if they already have asked you what you drink, they'll just bring you another drink. So there are reasons to it. Getting to board the plane first seems like the opposite of what first class should get, right? They should be able to board last. Like, waste their time on this can of sardines the least.
Yeah, it just strikes me as weird to pay like hundreds of dollars to be in a more comfortable seat for a couple hours.
If you're very tall, that also shifts the weight in one direction or another. But if you're like 5-6 or something, it's probably not going to make as much difference. But while this experience may have been a delight for Forsyth, so-called ghost flights, flights that carriers have to make if they want to hold on to their allocated routes and airport gates, have become a flashpoint for environmentalists across Europe. They're calling for regulatory changes to keep polluting planes from making flights that would normally be canceled, while Omicron has sent demand plummeting. Airline companies are also putting pressure on the European Union to adjust the rules until at least autumn. According to European Commission guidelines, under the 80-20 rule, carriers must operate 80% of their allotted slots for at least 80% of the time. So if they have gates or whatever, they have to be using 80% of them 80% of the time.
And this is why I was wondering if they just sometimes send a flight with no one on it.
I think they would have to, you know, if they had to get that time in order to keep their slot. This was tweaked at the outset of the pandemic and more recently adjusted to 50%, but those figures still exceed the number of flights needed to meet current passenger demand. Additionally, the pre-pandemic rate is set to be reinstated by March 2022. Conservationists are trying to keep that from happening and have launched an online petition saying ghost flights are of no benefit to anyone. Well, obviously.
Indeed.
Well, it benefited this one guy.
Wow,
but
you mean expending real resources to comply with bureaucratic requirements is not efficient?
This is
I've never... Wow! Makes you just rethink the whole thing, doesn't it?
This is a needless, wasteful practice, and reforming historic rights to landing slots will bring it to an end. I don't know what historic rights to landing slots are, but whatever. At a time of climate emergency, we need to drastically reduce our fossil fuel use. And in the context of our steadily dwindling carbon budget, it beggars belief that planes fly empty. So unless they're being hyperbolic here, which granted they may be, but apparently some of these planes do at least fly with no passengers.
I really wonder if these people are concerned with the amount of private jet usage for the purpose of climate change speech.
They don't seem to be at all concerned about it. I think of people like Leonardo DiCaprio who fly in to speak at, you know, climate change hearings or whatever. I think he did this at least once, and that's why his name comes to mind.
Yeah, apparently Harrison Ford recently did that too. Just like flies in on his personal jet to speak about climate change, flies out on his personal jet. It's like, what? But you don't believe this.
Clearly not.
You're making it up as you go along.
It continues at a time. Oh, I said that. Earlier this month, Lufthansa revealed it had operated 18,000 flights this winter that would otherwise have been canceled due to a lack of passengers, including 3,000 on Brussels Airlines, which it owns. That prompted Belgium's federal mobility minister to raise the issue. In a letter, the Belgian official described the current rules as economic, ecologic, and socially nonsense. So, officials in the European Union have realized how ridiculous it is, but the United Kingdom isn't even in the European Union, and that's where British Airways or whatever is focused out of. But 18,000 flights this winter from one airline owner that would otherwise have been canceled. I don't know what percentage they cancel flights, like if they didn't sell 50% of the seats. I don't know, but it's a silly process. And as you pointed out, this is a result of government regulation.
Well, and it's definitely worth pointing out what the obvious solution to this is: deregulate the flying. So if more people can create and operate airlines, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to talk to these other people, make sure that you have a different flight plan, but that's not that difficult. Now, if you deregulate this, open it up so that a bunch of people can make their airlines, then they don't have to jump through weird hoops to hold on to their landing spot, even though they don't need it today.
It seems like it would be common sense, right? Hey, we have a plane that needs to land here at this time. Do you have a gate available? We'll pay you X amount of dollars for this gate instead of having these permanent leases or whatever on them. I mean, I guess it works if you're an established airline and you know you're going to be making this many number of flights, but...
Which is what happens when you regulate a business out of competition.
Yeah. But if there was competition, when we get back, we're going to talk about cryptocurrency. Coming up, how Russia is proposing a ban on mining and... It is Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. If you would like to weigh in, again, that number 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
And we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Well, they are finally available on exchange, two of them, in fact. You can find links to those on their website. That's intercoin.org. That's intercoin.org. Or you can just go to xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com, or Uniswap if you want to buy some ITR at X Markets. You can sign up just with an email address, which allows you to actually keep your privacy intact. You can then deposit cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, sell them for Tether, and use Tether to buy ITR, which again is the Intercoin investor token. Learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. You might just be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. Intercoin.org. There is lots to talk about regarding cryptocurrency tonight. I've got a story from someone who's saying that all cryptocurrency is a Ponzi scheme that is absolutely worth getting into. Also, the mayor of New York City is evidently taking his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum. So we're going to talk about that. But first, you have a story about how Russia's central bank is proposing essentially a ban on cryptocurrency.
Yeah, this one's from Forbes. It's Russian central bank proposes banning crypto mining and trading. Russia's central bank proposed banning the mining, creation, and use of cryptocurrencies in a report released Thursday.
So by trading, they don't mean buying or selling. They mean you can't even use cryptocurrency.
Right.
Wow. That's going to be difficult for a central bank to outlaw crypto.
Yeah, and I mean, from what I understand, this is what they're proposing here is a bigger ban even than China has run. Because China has said none of our banks are allowed to use these products, and you're not allowed to mine it, but they haven't forbidden the trading of it.
Among end users, yes. Whereas exchanges cannot sell it to them. But an individual, as I understand, I'm not an expert in Chinese law, but as I understand it, one Chinese national can trade Bitcoin to another Chinese national.
As I understand it, that's still legal.
Yeah.
Whereas Russia, it hasn't been written that I'm aware of. I mean, I'm sure someone has some bill somewhere, and it hasn't been passed, but it's been recommended by their central bank, and central banks tend to have quite a lot of sway in the countries where they operate, and frequently everywhere else, for that matter, when there's a large company or a large country involved.
They certainly do. I remember India. I don't remember the status of India's cryptocurrency ban, but they did that years ago. I don't know how well it held up, but there's been a number of attempts from countries to just outright ban cryptocurrency. At least the United States, despite all its flaws, hasn't been that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It just raids and arrests people and then says, oh, well, obviously Bitcoin's illegal, without actually writing a law that says any such thing.
Yeah, and two things that I think were very important to the effectiveness of this on the market. Number one, it coincided with the Federal Reserve releasing their report about digital currencies, which definitely has a section bad-mouthing cryptocurrencies.
Oh, of course it does.
So they released these both on the same day, late in the day. And I think a big part of it is just people still have it in their mind that, like, oh, Russia, they're a superpower. And really, they were never really a superpower. I mean, most of their power as the USSR was all for show. And I mean, at this point, they have like the economy of one American state rather than like of America itself. But people still have this ingrained idea of, oh, Russia says so. Well, that's huge.
I don't know the actual military capabilities of Russia or how exactly they define a superpower, but I've never taken issue with the concept of the USSR being considered a superpower, at least in that it rivaled the United States. I would argue that China is probably also, because the way people understand the world right now, if I remember correctly, and it's been a long time since I was in high school and the word superpower actually meant anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, or first world country is kind of the same sort of idea.
I don't know, because the United Kingdom is definitely a first world country, but no one is calling them a superpower.
Mm.
But the United States is, at least back when I was in high school or whenever, whenever I cared about what the word superpower meant, the United States was the only superpower.
Well, the idea basically was that World War II had left us with two major superpowers throughout the country. So you had like the two first world countries, which were the superpowers of the USSR and the United States. And then you had the second world, which was what we now consider first world countries, you know, just, you know, European countries, modern and powerful, but not like globe dominating contenders.
Okay.
And then you had the third world, which is basically where we were doing all of our fighting.
Right. And the first world countries that had been superpowers, prior to World War II, where the British Empire, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire. Mm-hmm. The British Empire may not have been nearly as powerful as the United States in military terms once the United States got going, but the British Empire did have a large number of colonies that it could draw from, and it did draw from them.
And that's basically what had happened through World War I and World War II, is you had Germany and Britain. I mean, of course, they weren't the only ones involved in this, but a big part of this was those two major world powers just grinding each other down to an absolute standstill. And that was World War I. And then suddenly America enters the show, and they've got fresh troops and an unbombed industrial capability. So they just show up and wipe the floor with the Germans. And the Germans are like, okay, well, we lose for one generation and we'll be back.
Sure. So evidently a superpower is a very powerful and influential nation used specifically with reference to the U.S. and the former Soviet Union when these were perceived as the two most powerful nations. A very powerful and influential nation. Or a state that possesses military or economic might, or both, and general influence vastly superior to that of other states. Yeah, and I can accept the influence part of it, because the United States definitely has significantly more influence around the world than, say, Germany or probably Russia, although this is a sore point to both Russia and China, as I understand it, where they want to be taken more seriously and have more influence, which I'm fine with. At the New Hampshire bill hearing, we had a New Hampshire state rep peddling this anti-Chinese nonsense. What are you going to do about the rise of China and the rise of communism and all of this other nonsense? It's like, we're going to
leave them alone.
Yeah, we're going to combat it with our superior ideas, our individualism and free market principles. Yeah, that is how.
If they want to go more communist, let them. Let them destroy their economy. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Never
that.
Stop your enemy. Like, I don't think of them as enemies, but they do. Never stop your enemy when they're making a mistake. Let them go more communist and ruin themselves.
And evidently now, Russia's central bank is proposing this wacky idea of banning all cryptocurrency mining and all cryptocurrency trading within Russia. I don't know that they can pull that off. I don't think even the Chinese government has been able to pull off something of that scale, and they're far more tyrannical. But what do you think? Is this coming to the United States next? 603-283-6160.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us, 603-283-6160. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. And Bitcoin is on sale yet again, and it's more on sale than it has been in quite a long time. And if you don't have any idea what that means, then get on over to Bitcoin.com, because it's long past time to learn about this important world-changing information. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's probably, this is not financial advice, it's probably not a bad time to pick up Bitcoin because it is down to like $33,000, $34,000. I don't know the exact price because I get the information secondhand from people just telling me about it hours after it hits a certain number. And I got to tell you, I thought the lowest point was going to be that $40,000 mark that it hit, but evidently it just sailed right past that and kept going down to the bottom. But that
Right now it is 35,300.
Okay.
35,300 and change.
Could be worse. And all that really means is that it's a better time now to buy Bitcoin than it was yesterday to buy Bitcoin. So go to Bitcoin.com, click getting started at the top of the page. Just take a few minutes out of your day to learn about this important world-changing information. And if you already know about Bitcoin, stay up to date on all of the news and headlines that are relevant to you at news.bitcoin.com. Speaking of Bitcoin, the Russian Central Bank has gotten into the heads that somehow they're going to make it illegal to use cryptocurrency, or they're proposing a total ban on cryptocurrency. I'm curious. Of course, they won't explain what mechanism they think they can implement that would cause this to happen, but they're the central bank. You know, they're used to being able to exercise full control over the economy, and with Bitcoin, they can't actually do that. I don't think they understand that.
Yeah, they might be telling the government to bite off more than it can chew with this one. Yeah, Forbes is saying that it's the mining...
Or as they said in Killer Raccoons 2, biting off more than they can chew. Terrible movie. Do not watch it. Go ahead.
Right over my head. Anyway, so Forbes is saying that they're proposing banning the mining, creation, and use of cryptocurrencies. And what I wonder is, like, so you mean you're not allowed to create a new cryptocurrency if you're Russian, is what you're suggesting?
That is what it sounds like.
Huh.
So cryptocurrency advocates need to get out of Russia, it sounds like, if they haven't already.
Yeah, there is that. I would be leaving Russia over this.
But I think I probably would have left. Well, I would have left Russia long ago, but I'm trans, and they're not very friendly to trans people. So
there is that. There is that. The central bank said the proliferation of cryptocurrencies pose a danger to Russia's financial system and the stability of the Russian ruble. The bank said it expects the ban to reduce those threats.
Well, they are correct. Bitcoin does pose a ban to their central bank and to all central banks because that is the point of Bitcoin.
It's decentral banking.
Yes.
Turns out decentral banking poses a threat to central banking.
Satoshi Nakamoto saw what central banks were doing to people and developed an idea, a new currency that would allow us to bypass those institutions altogether. The ones that are bankrupting us, stealing, buying our land right out from under us, whether we like it or not, systematically making us poorer and poorer, like 97% of people's value over the last century. Yeah, they're stealing from us. And Satoshi Nakamoto said, man, I have an idea about how we can change this and put the power back in the hands of the people and keep governments and central banks from being able to screw people over like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the early newsletters from Satoshi Nakamoto made it pretty clear that the evils of the banking system, the central banks and the fractional reserves and how it's just this giant cartel, banking cartel that rules the world is the problem, and that Bitcoin was implemented as a solution to that problem.
Oh yeah, Satoshi Nakamoto released this shortly after the 2008 banking crash for a reason.
Yes, I mean, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, that was a big part of why so much time and energy was devoted to figuring out how to create a form of currency that wasn't subject to the manipulations of central banking and of crony capitalism as we know it today.
Hillary Clinton also knows that Bitcoin is coming after the central bank system. I mean, she was saying recently somewhere, I don't remember exactly where she said it, but, you know, we're running out of time or something to that effect. So they are running out of time, and it's good that they're finally realizing it, but I've got bad news for them. The state, the bureaucracy is so slow that by the time the state realized that it was running out of time, it was already out of time.
Yeah, that genie's out of the bottle. The question is not whether or not centralized fiat currencies will be replaced by cryptocurrencies. The question is when and how, what the transition will look like, which currencies will be important when that occurs. These are all still up in the air. How how soon this happens, whether it's something that we get to do, you know, this year or even this generation, that is all still up in the air.
I think this generation is probably almost certain. I think 10 to 15 years, most likely, based on the inflationary rates of the USD and the apparently there may or may not be some wars coming up with like China and Russia. I don't know because I don't.
They are saber rattling at the moment.
They are. And I don't follow war news very closely because I realize that a lot of it is just saber rattling. But it could actually lead to some stuff, right? If Russia invades Ukraine and China invades Taiwan, the United States is going to have a bit of a mess on its hand where it has to respond.
Yeah, of all the insane things that these would-be world controllers do, nothing is more insane than risking the possibility of nuclear war. So, I mean, you've got NATO, which...
I think China, based on just statements I've seen in the past, I think China would be willing to use a nuclear weapon. And we know the United States is willing. They're the only country in the world that's done it.
Mm-hmm.
Twice!
Yeah, I mean, so you've got America really, really likes to be like, you can't do any major changes without our express permission anywhere in the world. No one's allowed to change a border unless we sign off on it. So you've got China who's saying, yeah, we still think Taiwan is part of us and they owe a lot of back taxes, basically. And Taiwan who's like, no, we are the real China. You are the fake China.
Is Taiwan really... saying that?
Yes, they have said that since the beginning. They're like, no, we are the only real China. You are the fake China, you crazy communists.
I have not followed that history.
Yeah, it's a weird... No, they consider themselves to be the real China in exile. Like, they are the Chinese government in exile. And they're just... It's just that the real Chinese government only rules this one island right now. And the fake communist Chinese government has been running, you know, a giant chunk of the continent for decades.
Curious. Well, banning cryptocurrency isn't going to do anything to help China or Russia.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a couple of places where it is insane, but they're doing it anyway, where they're like letting these nuclear powers saber rattle. And it's Taiwan and Ukraine are the ones that seem to be making the news recently. So, I mean... NATO made an agreement with the USSR and with Russia at various points. We will not move any further east. We will not expand into Ukraine. And then they've been trying to get Ukraine to join them, like openly and bragging about, yeah, no, we think we can get them within the next decade. And so, of course, you're going to upset Russia that way. So now Russia's like, okay, well, we're going to send troops into the part of Ukraine that still speaks Russian. And is more loyal to us. And that's where you got the whole Crimea situation. And it's just, who cares? Seems to me it's up to Ukraine if they want to be part of NATO or part of Russia or neither. And we certainly shouldn't be risking nuclear annihilation over this.
I mean, in a perfect world, it would be. But they're sort of the rope that the United States government and the Russian governments are using to play their petty political game of tug of war. So they do sort of have to pick a side. It's not their fault that they're the rope. But, you know, you do have innocent bystanders there who are now like, we have to pick a side. It's like, but I don't like either of these people. I just want to be left alone. Well, that isn't an option.
Yeah, and if we switch the currencies, they won't have the motivation for all these shenanigans.
Right, because they won't be able to pay for them.
Exactly.
Because they'd have to actually earn Bitcoin in order to pay Lockheed Martin for bombs. And Lockheed Martin, they don't have them. The U.S. government can't earn the Bitcoin. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live, where you're invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to weigh in. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
And yet again, we have been suspended from YouTube. I think this one's until early February. I don't really remember, and honestly, we stopped caring about YouTube a long time ago. If it's there as an option, we stream to it, but we don't give a flying crap about YouTube at this point, because they're constantly doing this to us. It's inevitable. Facebook is going to do it to us. Twitter is going to do it to us. Twitch has done it to us in the past. Stop using these platforms. Check out our Odyssey channel. There, we don't have to worry about being censored for what we say. Video.freetalklive.com will take you directly to our Odyssey channel. And again, there's more than like a million content. There's more than a million channels over there at Odyssey now of people who are just sick and tired of having to watch what they say on YouTube or having to worry about losing monetization. Odyssey is built on the library network, which means you don't have to worry about some advertiser wanting to share revenue with you or whatever. If you can actually charge people to watch your videos if you want. Hey, it's 0.0001 library credit if you want to watch this video about, I don't know, squirrel mating seasons or whatever. People watch weird stuff on YouTube, or how much dung beetles eat in a year. I don't know. Video.freetalklive.com. We don't talk about that sort of nonsense, but we do talk about stuff that gets us banned from YouTube quite often. So video.freetalklive.com. Check us out there if you want to actually have a stream where you can watch us day to day and not worry about whether or not we're going to be there.
Yeah, if you're still relying on the biggest tech platforms to get your information, stop. It's time to stop now. I mean, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or Google, find an alternative, because they are doing the same thing that they've been doing and just cracking down further and further. And I mean, these are companies, especially if you're a libertarian, you should be off of these anyway, because these are companies that were started by the military-industrial complex, that were funded by the military-industrial complex, and continue to have contracts to spy on the behalf of the military-industrial complex. So stop. And, I mean, they're going to lie to you. They're going to manipulate information.
Oh, of course.
And that's provable, and you have options. Like, we have good options these days. So there's just no reason to it. And I've been poking around on the Odyssey stuff, and it really does remind me of what YouTube used to be, where it's open communication, peer-to-peer, about whatever.
One of the biggest selling points I've ever seen for Odyssey was this former Chinese national, he is a Chinese refugee, who made videos of Uyghur Muslims testifying what the conditions were like in China in these prison camps that Uyghur Muslims are being sent to. And in order to prove the veracity of the claims that these people were making, he would show their IDs. As, you know, this is proof. This person is actually a Chinese citizen within the Xinjiang province. And because of that, because he showed their IDs, they kicked the entire channel off of YouTube.
Astonishing.
For this amazing public service of letting Uyghur Muslims who are being openly oppressed in China speak out and tell their stories. So that person did what anyone would do, went to Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't have to worry about that nonsense.
And one thing I love about Odyssey, I mean, I haven't done much with YouTube. I have a couple of videos, but I put them on library myself before going to YouTube. Now, if you have a channel out there and you're like, well, it would be a pain to switch, it's not. It's a couple of buttons.
Yeah.
You just click the option where you transfer your YouTube videos, and they just do it for you. They take care of the entire process.
It is really cool. But let's get to the phones. We have JCOM 3030 calling. JCOM, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just went to spit this verse, this hip-hop verse that I wrote, this Liberty Focus.
You wrote a hip-hop verse?
Yeah, yeah. All right, here goes.
Is the world ready for this?
Hmm? Is the world ready? Yeah. Let me set this up for you. What I spit ain't typical. Ideas that make your mind bend like the metaphysical. Imagine everything you hear is most hypocritical. And then you'll see the truth unfold directly in front of you. Don't listen to the lies. They're only meant to disguise the hidden agenda that's right before your eyes, man. Open up your mind to the real enemy. The USG got you stuck in slavery. No escape. Got you trapped like a political prisoner.
I hate to cut you off, but I have a quick question.
Liberty's spectacular, huh? Wait. What?
I hate to cut you off, but I have a quick question. Were you at the Porcupine Freedom Festival this last year?
Yeah, I videotaped your presentation.
Okay, yeah. You did a thing during the rant, right?
On the karaoke, I did another song. Yeah.
Okay, I just remember someone rapping during the rant, and I assumed it was you because theirs was also Liberty Focus, and the mannerisms yeah. were very similar.
Yeah, you do remind me of we had sort of an opener before our soapbox idol.
Is that what it was? It was an opener?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm...
I didn't do it during soapbox, no.
Yeah, I'm sad you cut him off. Yeah, I was hey, all right, you know, Eric July is getting some competition here.
Can you resume where you left off?
Yeah, sure. So it says, the only way out is the Master Liberty Spectacular. Huh. Wait, stop watching TV. The media got you hooked on lies and deceit. The truth only comes from independent sources. Filter the news and climb out of the darkness. Every sad feeling you feel is by design. To keep your mind trapped while you're in quarantine. And cloth masks don't protect you from viral particles. That's straight from a tweet from the U.S. Surgeon General. They only hide your face to prevent new relationships. Divide and conquer is the only objective. A currency collapse is definitely imminent. Protect your wealth. Make sure you're out of debt. Buy land, buy gold, buy silver and gear. Make sure you're organized and don't live in fear. Let me explain the very valuable law. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. The song is to deliver. Sound advice. Never compromise. Open your eyes.
Very cool. I liked it, other than the part where you pronounce quarantine as quarantine in order to make it rhyme with something else. But I mean,
I thought it was pretty clever.
Sure.
So if you guys want to hear the real version, my friends and I, we did three guys rapped on this beat. And it's on my SoundCloud, which is at JCOM3030 on SoundCloud. If anybody wants to check it out, I got all my stuff up there.
Okay, cool.
Well, as long as real version includes FCC compliance, because we are on the radio, so.
Well, the real version doesn't have to. I mean, he's just sharing a link.
Absolutely.
Presumably soundcloud.com.
Oh, I thought he was about to go through it. Okay.
No, that's soundcloud.com/JCOM. That's just the letter J and I think a hyphen and then com 3030 for anyone who wants to check it out. So anyway, we're talking about Bitcoin here and the Russian central bank and their plans to somehow outlaw cryptocurrency mining. And I'll give it to them. It's pretty obvious when someone's running a Bitcoin miner. They can probably track down that energy usage pretty easily. It is impossible for them to track peer-to-peer cryptocurrency payments.
Yeah, I mean, if you are not either physically or electronically currently monitoring what someone is doing, then it's impossible to know whether they're transacting cryptocurrency.
I think China's probably got the best chance of being able to actually implement a total cryptocurrency ban, and I'm not 100% sure that they could do it. I mean, I don't know to what extent the average Chinese person's phone is actually hackable by the Chinese government, or, you know, just readily viewable by the Chinese government. I imagine the Chinese government has plenty of backdoors where they can just look and see what apps a person has installed, but
I would assume so. I know that the U.S. government does.
Even so, that wouldn't stop a Chinese national who was dedicated to cryptocurrency from quickly installing the Edge wallet, you know, signing in, sending a payment, and then completely uninstalling the app. So even in China, there would be ways around this. But China's goal is to, instead of just outright banning cryptocurrencies, they're creating their own digital currency, the digital yuan, or whatever it is. I don't remember now what the Chinese currency is actually called, but that combined with their social credit system should terrify everyone. Mm-hmm. That they can say, oh, no, you were insufficiently loyal to the government last October in this post you made, not to Twitter or Facebook, because obviously those are banned in China, but to WeChat or whatever social media platform is actually allowed in China. So now we're going to suspend your ability to make transactions for a week. To give you time to reflect and rethink about your position on the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm. Well, and these countries are seeing how it is effective, and people are trading and valuing these digital products. So they're like, no, 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 we can go digital. Come back.
Yeah, but
let us control your lives. Let us decide who does and does not get to bank.
The problem they're going to have is that they have no sales pitch, because the U.S. dollar is already 97% digital. So they developed this new digital dollar. Okay, well, your old one was like mostly digital too. So what's the difference here? Except now you can keep me just outright from being able to spend any money. That's not a sales pitch. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness. So you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. We're here invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. Again, that telephone number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
And we're talking about the Russia Central Bank proposing that it might be a good idea to ban all cryptocurrency mining, creation, and trading within Russia. We're also going to be talking about the New York City mayor, who is taking his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum. I imagine he's using these, I wish I could remember the name of them, like wage to pay or something like that, that allows you to divert like 2% of your check if you want, or 100% if you want, into essentially a cryptocurrency exchange that will automatically convert your paycheck into cryptocurrency and send it to your personal private Bitcoin or whatever cryptocurrency wallet. I wish I could remember the name of that service. But
me too.
We only talked about it once here on the show, and not being able to use such services, I wasn't able to, you know, explore it and, you know, register it to memory. It was something that only came up once. If you're out there and you remember what that website is, give us a call and let us know. 603-283-6160. Anyway, we got all of that, coming up.
That means this isn't just for celebrities anymore, because I keep hearing about one celebrity after another who's like, oh, they're taking this in Bitcoin, they're taking this in Ethereum, they're taking this in cryptocurrency, and now it's politicians too. And I am glad to hear that that's available for just regular everyday folks who don't know how to run this stuff.
Yep, it's an awesome development. But let's get to the phones. We have Sarah, who is on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Sarah?
Oh, yes, sir. I just want to say that, you know, I am in favor of Russians taking back Ukraine or invading, because part of Russia?
You're in favor of one nation invading with a military force in order to kill and subjugate another nation?
But wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Ukraine.
You said you're okay with Russia invading Ukraine. This means that Russia is going to send in the military into Ukraine, and people are going to die.
Well, but look at the I was looking at the writing. It's Russian writing. It was part of Russia, wasn't it? Or was it? I'm confused. Was it part of Russia, or was it a separate country that Russia controlled, like Poland or Czechoslovakia? I don't even know. I don't even know how it was.
You don't even know and yet you're totally fine with one military invading another. And to answer your question, the alphabet in question, I don't know how it's pronounced. I'm assuming Cyrillic. It's an alphabet. It's based on the Greek alphabet, in fact, and it represents Slavic sounds, but with about a dozen additional letters invented to represent Slavic sounds not typically found in Greek. So it's not like exclusively a Russian language. It's a Slavic written language that is developed, that is evolved from Greek.
Yeah. Now, Russian is spoken in parts of Ukraine.
Right. So, in other words, the Russians their so-called iron, their influence reached all the way to Poland, Latvia, Estonia, all the way down, all the way up to Eastern Europe, Eastern Germany. That's why they made a big deal about the wall. So
yes,
they're just taking back what belonged to them like they had before. So, you know,
Sarah, there's so much wrong with everything you just said. Whether or not how it was 35 years ago or however long ago it was, I think 35 years, give or take, is about 37 years or 30. Oh, I don't know exactly when the wall in Berlin fell, but however it was then is not how it is now. Ukraine is a separate, distinct nation. The USSR no longer exists. The Russian Federation, I don't know whether or not that exists or not, but Ukraine isn't a part of it.
That's what Russia is the Russian Federation.
And Ukraine is not a part of it. This is not Russia taking back what is theirs. This is Russia invading and conquering another country, killing a lot of innocent people in the process. How can you possibly be okay with this?
Well, because here's the thing, is that I believe that Russian state are still communist, so they have communist values. So therefore, it's a good thing to balance out the capitalist.
Sarah, when she says stuff like that, I'm convinced she is playing like 5D chess and is just one of the best trolls we've ever known.
So there was this thing that happened called the fall of the Soviet Union. And if you like really just take some time, study the history between, say, the late 80s and now in Russia, and what changes have occurred, like, they are a capitalist country. By most metrics, they're actually a more capitalist country than the United States of America.
So, after the fall of the Soviet, what good came out of it as far as the working class?
What good came out of the fall of the Soviet Union for the working class? They stopped starving to death. Literally that. During the Soviet Union, there was state-imposed starvation. Now, there's an argument as to whether it was intentional state-imposed starvation or whether it was merely extremely lethal incompetence. But while I think that it was specifically intentional because they had a lot of resistance in the region. So they're like, well, let's just kill off a bunch of them through starvation.
But, remember Reagan was president when the Berlin Wall fell, and I got excited because I really thought it was something good that happened. And one of
it
the
was.
Speeches in part of, okay, look it. In part of the speech, it says our Social Security is bankrupt. It's going to end. That was part of the celebration. Okay, and I was 18 when I was hearing that. I'm like, why is that great? Why is that celebration? But they are gonna do away with Social Security because they've been telling us that it's been depleted. So
okay.
that's a communist
so this
policy
is
the, that they're
you're,
gonna
you're
do
doing
away
a
with.
Complete segue whiplash here. But okay, so Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Like by definition, like if you look up what a Ponzi scheme is, what a pyramid scheme is, how it works, and you just read what the intended function of Social Security, like they are built in the exact same way, except that with Social Security, you have people with guns forcing you to take the Ponzi scheme. Whereas in a Ponzi scheme, you have to convince the next set of people that you will be able to convince people after them so that they can profit.
Sarah, thank you so much for the call tonight. You know, I want to take Sarah at face value, but when she says stuff like, I want Russia to invade Ukraine because then that will increase the number of communists because I think the Russians are secretly still communist. So the Russia having control of Ukraine will increase the amount of communism in the world to combat the capitalism in the world.
I believe she's completely sincere.
I can't imagine that's anything but trolling.
This is exactly what I was talking about when we brought this up in the first place, is that in the minds of most people, the conflict between NATO and the USSR, and especially between the United States and the USSR, was so traumatic and so big in historical world events that it has just left this indelible mark on people's minds about what Russia is and what America is, so that no matter how communist America acts, they call it a capitalist country, and no matter how capitalist Russia acts, they still think of it as the USSR, as a communist superpower.
See, and that's what shocks me about Sarah, because she recognizes that Social Security is communism. It's a communist policy.
Yep.
And it's a Ponzi scheme, because that's ultimately what communism is as well. It's just a giant Ponzi scheme. Oh, we'll give you some bread if you give me your bread, and then you go out there and convince some other people to give you their bread, then and, you'll have some bread.
And just a quick caveat, I'm using communist in the authoritarian sense, not the utopian sense of the word.
Right.
Because there is a utopian sense of the word that is just, you know, rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, and I don't object to that utopian sense. I think it's probably as unrealistic an idea as one can come up with, but in theory, sure, it's totally possible to have a peaceful, functional communist anarchy where nothing ever goes wrong. I just don't think it's very likely. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up about Bitcoin and this New York City mayor who's being paid in it. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. You are welcome to weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. Talk about whatever is important to you, or talk about Bitcoin, or whatever it is that we happen to be discussing. It's up to you, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to weigh in. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And we are currently raising funds with GiveDirectly, which is the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. They locate recipients in need and use mobile money to send them cash with no strings attached. And research shows that giving cash directly to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Why would this aid organization in Europe have any idea what these families in Bomet and Kilifi counties in Kenya actually need to improve their lives? GiveDirectly cuts out the middleman and says, hey, you're in need. Here's some cash. You know what you need. Go and buy it. And we're matching your donations to GiveDirectly if you use our campaign. You can find it at give.freetalklive.com. We're matching your donations up to $30,000. So if you're feeling generous this holiday season, I don't know if it's still the holiday season or not. This is old ad copy. Head to give.freetalklive.com. Again, that's give.freetalklive.com, because there isn't a better way to help people who live in actual, literal poverty. But let's go to the phones. Well,
it counts as holiday season as long as people leave up their lights.
That's true. Well, some people leave them up forever.
Then it's a holiday every day.
Let's go to the phones. We have Jimmy calling from Liverpool in the UK. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I just want to say you have an opportunity as New Hampshireans to rejoin the greatest kingdom.
Okay.
The United Kingdom.
Oh, so like if we secede from the U.S.?
Be the subjects of the freest kingdom in the world. No jabs, no masks, no bollocks. Yeah, I saw this coming from a kilometer away. This colony is King Boris Johnson, first of his name, by rights. All this talk about liberty, yeah? Why don't you join the freest kingdom on the face of the earth? Let's not
dawdle
about. Let's get it done.
You know, someone mentioned something similar at the New Hampshire Independence Bill hearing that we had recently, Thursday, in fact, at the State House here in New Hampshire. Someone said, you know, if you're saying that secession is invalid, I have to agree with you. Secession is completely invalid, and it doesn't matter what the U.S. Constitution says about that or anything else, because the colonies were in the wrong when they first seceded from the United Kingdom, from the British Empire. So if secession is irrelevant, then we're still British subjects, and we're still part of the British Empire. So secession is either relevant and we're not part of the British Empire, or secession is relevant and we can leave the United States just like we left the British Empire. Only in theory, this is going to be significantly more peaceable. But why do you characterize the UK as the freest territory on the planet?
Oh, they got no jabs. The masks, they're done.
No jabs, no masks?
Yeah, they're so free. They got no jabs and masks.
Did they get rid of that?
That is not what I've been hearing.
Well, you're in Liverpool.
They got no mandates. And Boris Johnson went on the telly and he said that we're done with this. We're done.
Okay. I think he's correct. I've seen news headlines in the last few days of various politicians saying, look, we're not going to be able to mandate our way out of this. This is going
to... By Jove, they've come to their senses.
Well, I don't know. Israel said this 9 months ago, and they didn't... One of the health ministers in Australia said this 9 months ago, but yet that didn't slow any of their policies.
Yeah, I got to say, as far as kingdoms go, to speak in Britain's favor... You were allowed the vote to leave the EU, and the EU is largely comparable to the United States. So you do have that on New Hampshire. They won't even give us the opportunity to vote on whether or not we want to leave. But as far as kingdoms go, like, you are way behind Liechtenstein. In Liechtenstein, they still have a very powerful monarch who happens to be an anarchist. And he's specifically said every single county is allowed to leave Liechtenstein if they want at any time. And he tried to get them to vote themselves the ability to leave as individuals. And the people of Liechtenstein said, no, that is too much freedom. We do not want to give individuals the ability to individually leave Liechtenstein. You have to do it as a town or not at all. But hey, the monarch is trying to give them more freedom. So
the only problem I see with it is that the next monarch could come in and have an entirely different view of things.
That is the downside.
But other than that, that does sound pretty ideal, pretty promising. That would be interesting to see New Hampshire declare independence from the United States and rejoin the United Kingdom.
That would be hilarious and sad at the same time.
It would be
sad. Much like the movie Idiocracy.
Jimmy, thank you so much for the call tonight. It's always fascinating to hear from people on the other side of the pond because we don't, I mean, here in America, all of the news on the internet is just totally fixated on the United States and what's happening in the United States. Probably 90% of articles on Drudge Report, and obviously if you go to a BBC website or something like that, you're going to get news about the United Kingdom. But if you just go to news.google.com or whatever, most of the, and it, this may be territory specific, I don't know, so... But most of the news that the world seems to be focused on is that's what's coming out of the United States. So we don't hear a lot about what's happening out of there.
Well, and I find your accent suspicious.
But the actual person who came to the New Hampshire hearing, the bill hearing for New Hampshire independence, has said, well, you know, I oppose this bill because I don't think you have the right to secede from the United States government because you're not part of the United States government. Because that was one of the arguments this guy went on for like 20, so Brody Deshaies, I think was his name, was. He went on for like 27 minutes. He was told to research the subject, and you know, he got to speak for 27 minutes. The rest of us only got 3 minutes, but doesn't seem quite fair to me. But one of the things he said was that from the Supreme Court...
You mean the state is giving themselves a larger platform than they give us?
By almost a factor of 10.
No.
But we had the advantage because there were a whole lot more of us than there were of them. So even though he got 27 minutes and all of us only got 3, the hearing ended up going for like an additional 3 hours after, or 2.5 hours, I guess, after this guy spoke, because there were just so many people in the public wanting to speak up about this legislation. But the guy even said, from the Supreme Court point of view, the states never seceded because all of these states still had their official United States government that were still functioning. They were just temporarily overthrown via a rebellion. So it wasn't an invasion of the Confederate states, according to the Supreme Court. It was a reestablishment. It was them going in and helping the established government suppress a rebellion.
Well, and it's important to remember that what's actually at stake here is a more fundamental question of, is government top down or bottom up? Is the fundamental source of power and of rights the government that then bequeaths you the privilege of having rights? Or is it the people that then can say, okay, we come together as a county and these counties come together as a state and these states can come together as a nation if they decide to do so?
Yeah, but that's not the question they're interested in answering. I mean, The way these people view the world doesn't make any sense. Like, the state...
It turns out Britain had laws against our revolution. Who knew?
The board on this committee actually sat there and said to me, well, who governs me? There's no one governing me.
Wow.
Dude, the federal government is governing you. They're completely...
We're trying
clueless.
To make that true.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160, if you would like to weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
I want to say thank you to Dominique Bashford, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that Dominique is a member of the AMP program, the AMPS program, and is giving $10 per month. Of course, we don't ask that. All it takes to join the AMPS program is $5 per month. That gets you in. It does have a number of cool little perks, like there's an AMP-only podcast that doesn't have the ads that we insert and stuff like that. There is an AMP-only chat on the Matrix server, and even an AMP-only Facebook group, although why anyone is still actively using Facebook is beyond me. Like, Facebook is probably my most used social media platform, and I've gotten to the point where, like, maybe once every 3 or 4 days, I will open it up and post something and then just immediately close out of it again. Anyway, Dominique Bashford likes our show. And if you like our show, you want to show your support, joining the AMPS program is the best way to do it. That you can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. So again, if you like the show, if you value the ideas of liberty, reaching people around the United States on terrestrial radio, on the internet, all of that great stuff, the AMPS program is the best place to do it. So thank you, Dominique, so much for your support. Let's go to the phones. We have Robert on the line listening on WTMA in South Carolina. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you still with us, Robert? Going once. Looks like we lost you. But let's go to Mike listening out in Massachusetts. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about the guy who claimed the UK's opening back up and no longer has any mandates. I don't know specifically about the UK, but I know I've been sent a couple of articles, a couple about Australia and some other European nations claiming that they're opening up. If you read the title, like I've got one in front of me right now from NBC News that says Australia has decided to let COVID rip. Is that a good idea? So if you read just the headlines, you'd think that they're just opening back up and, you know, F it. But the problem is if you actually read the articles, these are hit pieces complaining that in this case, Omicron is hitting Australia and they're claiming that Australia is not doing a good job because they aren't locking down even more than they already are.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
Turns out concentration camps were just too liberal of a step.
Well, it's an issue people have with not reading news articles, but just reading headlines and then sharing them. I saw this a lot when the new Matrix movie came out. Of course, people again trotted out that narrative that, oh, the Matrix trilogies are really an allegory for being trans, or allegory. I don't know which one
it is. It's allegory.
Okay, for being trans. And they post all of these headlines that say that, you know, one of the Wachowski sisters actually said this. But if you actually look at the article and read it, the sisters have made it very, very clear that it's nothing of the sort and that they don't have any idea how being trans affected the movie that they wrote and produced and directed. But that doesn't stop people from sharing. When I make these points, they will immediately argue with me and share one of these clickbait incorrect headlines and say, no, you're wrong. Here's the article that proves it, without ever even bothering to read said article. And it doesn't matter. You can show them quotes directly from that article. They don't care. The headline says this. It must be true.
Yeah. But this headline agrees with my narrative. How dare you question my narrative? You're supposed to be on my side.
So, Mike, thank you so much for the call tonight. I'm not surprised at all to hear that's the case with the COVID-19 lockdowns in the United Kingdom. The United States hasn't gone into lockdown like it did in 2020. God, it has been a long time, hasn't it?
It has.
There are some states like California and, you know, New York City. Well, New York City isn't a state, but some places like California and New York City that are going into extreme lockdowns. And of course, vaccine mandates and vaccine green passes, whatever they're calling them, those have been rolled out in some places, like, I don't know exactly where, but they do exist in places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely lends credibility to the theory that this is all going to get transferred into a global warming lockdown in the future, because why else are you calling it a green pass?
It was curious that they would call it a green pass, other than, you know, green means go on streetlights. That was the only other thing I could really come up with.
And I mean, it is kind of obvious. Yeah, I mean, that's that. I imagine that's the cover that they're using for it. But I mean, if you're heavy into, like, climate change is an existential threat, then of course you noticed, oh, so we are willing under some circumstances to reduce our carbon footprint to practically nothing. And yeah, we are apparently willing to do that. It is causing enormous shortages and untold death and destruction throughout the world.
Oh, dude, and the death and destruction throughout the world has barely even started at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get a whole lot worse before it ever gets better. I hope people stocked up on food. I hope you use your stimulus checks to stock up on food or gold or cryptocurrency or water or something that's going to be useful. If you just bought a television, oh, man, you're going to have a rough time ahead. I'm sorry, but you are.
Yeah, and that's one of those fun things where if people had followed your advice and taken that stimulus check, even now with the, like, oh, but the price has suddenly crashed, there's still just a huge profit margin there.
There is actually a calculator. It's a Twitter account. That's even better because I'm allowed to use Twitter, that will calculate exactly as of January 18th, if you had used your stimulus check in 2020, whenever it was, to buy Bitcoin, that $12,000 would now be worth that $1,200 would now be worth $7,634 in Bitcoin, up about 530%. Of course, that's a few days ago, and I believe the value of Bitcoin has gone down a bit, so it'd probably be like $7,100 or something like that at this point. But still, that $1,200, if you had bought Bitcoin, would now buy you $7,000 worth of goods and services on the open market. Whereas that $12,000, it buys you less today than it bought you 2 years ago. Because all of the prices on things have gone up. You're like, oh, yes, but wage has increased as well. Okay, the average wage increase, if I remember the numbers correctly, was something like 5% in the year 2021. Whereas the increase in prices as a result of the inflation and the wage increases and all of, and the supply issues and all of that, was 9%. So even though you got paid 5% more, everything cost you 9% more. And you don't have to have a degree in advanced mathematics to look at two numbers and tell me which one is bigger, 5% or 9%. If 5% is bigger, you made money. Mm-hmm. If 9% is bigger, you lost money. And I got to tell you, 9 is bigger than 5.
And this is always going to happen. So, I mean, for one thing, you have the fact that changing prices on products and services can happen immediately. Like, if a grocery store decides to, they can change the prices of all their products over lunch. Whereas changing the prices of labor, that almost never happens. Like, oh, you can go in and talk to them every 6 months or a year to talk about a 1% or 5% or whopping 7% increase in your pay. And it just doesn't keep pace with the printing of money. So they print a bunch of money. There's now more money chasing the same amount of goods and services. They're going to change the prices of goods and services without changing the price of labor. And it just happens over and over again and gets doubly compounded when every company is like, well, I definitely won't charge more, or I won't pay you more than minimum wage. Why would they make it minimum wage at this number if we couldn't do minimum wage at that number?
Yeah, it's completely, I mean, you raise a really good point about how inflation, the effects of an increase in the money supply, they basically set in immediately. You won't notice it at first, but it sets in immediately and it only escalates from there. Whereas, what do you get a raise? Once every 6 months? Once every quarter, if you're lucky? Mm-hmm. More likely, you get a yearly review and your company gives you a 2% raise or something like that. 2% was standard when I worked as a slot technician. And, you know, that's a standard, very specialized field, and even there the raise is only 2% a year. That's not going to match that 9% increase in prices that you've been fighting the entire previous year. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us, 603-283-6160, if you would like to weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. At 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Bigless Mountaineer.
And we've been talking about Bitcoin and reasons to use Bitcoin. One of the biggest, of course, being that if you... Well, it's not even one of the biggest, but one of the most impactful things that we can say is in 2020, as far as I understand, every single American taxpayer received a $1,200 stimulus check. I was among them. Anyone who used that stimulus check when they received it, I got mine on like May the 2nd or something like that, to purchase Bitcoin, has seen an increase in the value of their Bitcoin, or in the value of that $1,200, however you wish to speculate it, because it's still that same amount of Bitcoin. That Bitcoin is just worth more money. So if you had spent that whole $1,200 on Bitcoin, today it would be worth around $7,000 with an increase of about 500%. Hope you're enjoying that brand new 65-inch plasma screen or whatever it is you used your stimulus checks on out there. Hopefully people use it on Bitcoin or gold. Gold hasn't seen the increase that Bitcoin has. So it's almost like... And this is why I don't think Bitcoin is actually reacting to the USD's inflation, because gold isn't reacting to the inflation of the USD. Gold is still just hovering around there at the same price that it's always been at. So I think what we're seeing with Bitcoin is solely a result of supply and demand.
Well, the only major movement I've seen with gold and Bitcoin did the same thing, because they are both hedges against inflation, is that when the big Build Back Better bill got defeated, there was a sudden plunge, because they're like, oh, you mean you're not going to suddenly print trillions of dollars? I guess I don't need to hedge against inflation that much.
Oh, well, that's a silly bet, because they're not going to suddenly print trillions of dollars, but they're still going to slowly print trillions of dollars. But let's go to the phone. We have Dave Ridley of RidleyReport.com on the line with us from here in New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you in there. I was kind of fascinated by the guy calling from England, because all my relatives came from England. My grandmother was a Walton. Her relatives were De Waltons, who were ministers to the kings of England till about the time the Mayflower came and one of the Waltons came and landed and settled in Worcester, Mass.
Oh, so you probably beat me here then, because my family came here in 1620. So I assume you got here before...
I don't know what the date was. I really don't. I have the genealogy written down, but it's all gray matter to me. I was never interested. I did want to say, though, my father was a Lidstone, came from Lidstone, England. There's a little town there. At one time, they had the largest water wheel, or one of the biggest water wheels on the river there. In England, I think it ran like five grist mills. I don't know how it happened, but two of the Lidstone brothers were brought by to the penal colony on Prince Edward Island. They escaped, came down into northern Maine, and all the Lidstones in New England are related to those two brothers. So that goes back to sailing ships when the penal colony was on Prince Edward Island. Now, I almost think with that genealogy, I have the right to be the king of New Hampshire.
Well, it's something I was going to bring up to our caller that suggested we rejoin the Kingdom of Great Britain. I think that the ideal system is in fact monarchy. However, I should be a king, you should be a king, Arya should be a queen. We should each be our own individual monarch.
Amen. I agree. Hey, I don't want to take up your time. If you want to, I love to talk. I got all evening. If you want to talk about anything, you ask me, I'll answer your question. How's that?
Well, Dave, I didn't see you at the bill hearing Thursday. Were you unable to make it?
No, I'm 81, and I'm a mile and a half back in the woods, and there's no road back here. I'm off grid.
This is River Dave, not Dave Ridley. That's why I didn't recognize his voice.
There you go.
Yeah, River Dave.
Sorry. I thought you said Ridley Dave, and I was like, that's a weird way for him to characterize his name. Now, okay, I'm following you now. We are on the same page. I know who you are. My apologies.
Well, it's definitely good to have you. It's good to have you calling in. You're one of those rare, wonderful success stories of people who the government decides to target, and then you still get to go back to the life of deciding to keep yourself separate from them again.
Well, last week they headed to Concord Monitor that they were going to arrest me again. I talked with the police, and we had a little bit of an understanding, and I'm still out and free, kicking, sitting by the wood stove right now. So the Concord Monitor was wrong that time. I don't know how often they can be wrong and still be a newspaper.
I have been asking myself that very question about the entire corporate media structure for years.
How
wrong can you be and still exist?
River Dave, thank you so much for the call tonight, man. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I put those sludge videos on both the editor's desk several times of the union leader and the Concord Monitor, which is just down the road from me. I walked right in, put it on the desk. They said, yeah, we'll take care of it. John Harrigan, the outdoor sports writer, I've sent them to him. You know, they just will not talk about that sludge, but they'll put an old man in jail because he tries to.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, it's tragic. Keep fighting the good fight, man.
Yeah, for our listeners, he's been speaking out against
a
lot of...
I'm going to stay here. This fight is, there's no need to burn people's houses down. We're not in North Korea. You know, this is supposed to be the United States. You don't destroy people's property just because you disagree with them. So... they put Mike Gill out of his house, took his house, his Bentley, closed down five businesses because he put that sludge video on. So, I'm going to stay here. You know, they can drag me out barefooted in the middle of winter if they want, but I'm going to stand my ground.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to hear it, man. Well, we're standing with you all the way, I mean, in so much as we can, but I mean... You're the one out there on the front lines fighting them, and you have our support, absolutely. Thank you so much for the call tonight, River Dave.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Really sorry I misunderstood what you said at the first. You said it was because of your accent, which made me think that Dave Ridley was doing an accent, and I got so confused until you said you were 81, and I was like, Dave Ridley is nowhere near 81 years old. What is he talking about? And then it all clicked, and I feel very silly. But thank you again so much for the call. And
yeah, and for any non-regular listeners, what he's talking about with the sludge is there's a lot of pollution that's just being poured directly into the waterways, and he's trying to push back against that.
Yeah, and this all started, as I understand it, because he was arrested for living on property that he had been living on for like 30-something years, mm-hmm. and that he had an agreement with the people with about it, and they were it's a whole mess. You have to have been following the saga from the beginning because I can't possibly recount the entire thing. But basically, just some people got upset and were like, no, we're going to undo some stuff that we did back in the past. And we don't really care that it's going to, you know, destroy the only home you've had for the last 30 years. And then, if I recall correctly, while River Dave was in jail, his house, the one that survived the last 30 years without any problems, mysteriously burned down, wink, wink, finger quotes. So it does appear, from an outsider point of view, and this isn't, there's no evidence of this, this is an accusation, but it would appear to the layman that someone had him arrested and burnt his house down while he was gone so that he had nothing to go back to and had no choice but to leave. But River Dave, being a creative person, was like, okay, well, my shed survived, so he's now expanding that. He took that back in and he's turned that into his home, and I don't know what he's done with it since, but because, like I said, I haven't followed the story that closely. I couldn't possibly recap all of it anyway, but it's been truly tragic to see the way that the governments are jerking this innocent person around.
Yeah, and I mean, it's 10 degrees out there right now, so like...
If it's even that high.
So for someone to be willing to, I'm going to move into my shed in order to maintain the freedom that I have and stay off the grid and just keep to myself is really extraordinary.
It is. And it's an inspiration to us all, because it's not easy when you stand up for freedom. The governments of the world, and the United States government is no exception to this, they tend to get upset about that. They don't like it when people tell them no, because they recognize that, you know, if someone else sees you telling them no, they're going to be inspired to tell them no as well. So they want to make an example of you. Squash this rebellion before we have everyone saying no, but no, it's really simple. And the parking situation here in Keene is a perfect example of why it's so important to just say no. And we'll talk about that when we get back, because I think it's interesting. It's related to Bitcoin and defunding the state and all of these awesome things. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Pigless Mountaineer.
And our friend Rich Paul, also known as Nobody, currently has a motion in that would allow him contact with myself and Ian and would allow him to be on the radio show with us. Of course, right now, he's not able to make any public statements on radio or television or anything like that. So Bonnie has been...
Or be in contact with his friends in any way.
Yeah, there's a long list of friends that he cannot have contact with. It's seriously sad, man. It is so sad.
That friendship has been deemed illegal by the state.
So Bonnie has been going through old videos of his, finding quotes, and one of the ones I liked, it's actually been done already here on the show, but I liked it enough that I wanted to bring it up. Your government today is doing the things that you think only other people's governments do. It's engaged in murder. It's engaged in extortion. And that, to me, I love that quote, because that's what we deal with a lot of our callers, thinking, oh, that's like Sarah in particular with her, well, the communist governments don't do that.
The Taliban, they're terrorists.
Yeah, that's...
But America, they're the good guys.
It's sad that people view the world that way, but because it's their team that's the ones doing it, suddenly it's no longer this horrific evil thing. No, it's still this horrific evil thing.
A government's a government's a government. I mean, the fact is they operate the same way. They claim a monopoly on the initiation of force, and that leads to the same troubles.
It does. But let's go to the phones. We have Robert calling. I think it was from South Carolina. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. I just wanted to say that there is a communist country that has operated for, if you want to look at it from, since the year around the year 400, and that would be the Roman Catholic Church, which is actually an independent country. It's called the Vatican, and it's located in Rome, and operates under authoritarian communism, and many of its members take a vow of poverty, which clearly is kind of communistic, I would say. That so there is such a country, and did you think of that?
Well, so you're describing someone as taking a vow of poverty who rides around on a golden throne.
Well, many of the people in many of the orders of the Catholic Church, that is to say, this country, the Vatican, they do take a vow of poverty, and basically they don't own anything, basically not even the clothes on their back, technically.
I think Piklis's question was, did the Pope not take a vow of poverty?
I don't know if the Pope takes a vow of poverty, but basically...
I'm pretty sure that in order to become a Pope, you have to have been a priest, and in order to become
sure
a priest, you have to take
poverty,
a...
poverty, chastity, and something.
I'm not an expert on Catholicism, though.
Well, I don't know if a priest has to take a vow of poverty. I just know that certain orders do take a vow of poverty, and that's considered to be something that not everybody has to take. As far as I remember, I haven't been around that kind of society for a long time, but I don't remember priests usually taking a vow of poverty.
It's definitely worth bringing up that he's right. This is an authoritarian communist country that has functioned for hundreds of years. And the way that they have functioned for hundreds of years is by bringing in money from other countries throughout the world continuously.
Also true. I mean, this particular communist country happens to have a belief system that spread by the sword until it was one of the most dominant religions in the world, that just also happened to have this aspect to it where, you know, God may be all powerful and stuff, but that dude is broke and he needs your money today.
Mm-hmm.
10% of your money, in fact.
Yeah, you have like something like a sixth of the world that's Catholic. And of that, I mean, I could be off on that figure, but not by much.
I don't think it's that high.
Yeah. It is a significant fraction of the world that's Catholic.
Without doubt, of that
percentage, they're asked to give 10% of their
income. How much did you say? One in six?
A sixth, yeah.
17%. So yeah, about right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That almost comprises the whole of Christianity throughout the globe.
Roughly half of Christians are Catholic.
Okay, I didn't realize that. That particular disease was that pervasive among the human species.
Yeah. Ouch. The figures that my head's telling me, I might be off on this, is like roughly half the world, one third of the world is Christian and half of those are Catholic. So, yeah, you have one sixth of the planet that is all supposed to be giving 10% of their income to this authoritarian communist country. And that is what allows it to continuously operate for the last 400 years.
There's no rule that says that Catholics should give 10%. And also many countries get money from other countries. Japan, Germany are perfect examples of countries that get a huge percentage of their earn a huge percentage of their GNP as international income.
Well, Robert, you say there's no rule that says they have to give, but Leviticus 27:30 says a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So,
nevertheless.
Yeah. Yeah, they did write a rule down that said you have to give us some of your stuff.
I mean, they don't enforce that rule throughout the world by violence. That's true.
I don't know if they ever collected tithes via violence. That's fair.
But you are certainly encouraged, and in some contexts, like you are certainly encouraged and expected to render 10% of your income to this country.
And I'm not sure how closely I can accept the parallel of the Vatican being a nation, because that would mean...
No, it totally is.
That would mean that a Catholic American has two separate nations.
No. The only... you have to be clergy in order to have citizenship in Vatican City. No, this was this... It is a wild history for those that enjoy weird bits of history. It's right up there with, like, City of London being a completely different country than the rest of England. Also true. But no, there was this whole thing, especially, I think it ended up coming to a head with Mussolini, but there was this big back and forth between Italy and Vatican City, where Vatican City says, we're a country, and Italy says, no, you're not. And eventually they finally came to an agreement of, okay, fine, these are the rules and you can be your own independent country.
I just certainly did not know that. Robert, thank you so much for the call tonight. And it never would have occurred to me to think about the Vatican in the concept, in the context of a communist society without Robert's call tonight. But it makes perfect sense, right? Because that is how communism often works, where, sure, technically everyone owns nothing, but there's still that one dude in the golden robes shining around in the, driving around in the golden car, you know, being treated like a king. Almost literally, if not literally.
Which he literally is.
Yeah, and...
The Pope is literally the king of Vatican City in addition to his other position.
I'm not surprised to hear that. And wearing his royal slippers and whatever else, probably even sitting in a throne, it's definitely screwed up.
Well, and just like with the USSR, like the USSR would have collapsed immediately if it hadn't received so much aid from capitalist countries, specifically the United States. It was continuously being poured in, not only from our local commies around here, but from the government itself. A continuous stream of financial support to the USSR is what propped it up for so many years.
Yeah, unfortunately, the U.S. government does that sort of thing where it funds its enemies. If you look at the war in Afghanistan, I have no choice but to conclude that the entire thing was like, it was a 20-year exercise of them trying to solve the problem of how do we give a bunch of weapons to the Taliban without angering the American people. They're like, okay, well, we'll fight them for 20 years and then leave a bunch of stuff behind that they can have. And that way they'll have the weapons and the American people won't be like, why did you just arm the Taliban?
And this is part of why it's so absurd that people are freaking out about China. They're like, oh no, China's going back to their old communist ways. It's like, if you're worried about them, like, taking over, this is the best news you could possibly hope for.
Like, that's a fair point.
They're like, we're not communist enough. We've got to shoot a hole in our own boat and just sink our own economy.
And which economy is pouring massive amounts of money into China? The United States. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up about Bitcoin. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. We're doing the studio tonight. It's Aria.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And you reminded me that I had mentioned parking tickets earlier and how that ties into defunding the state. Well, here in Keene, a lot of the parking spaces, there are some places where you can find free parking, but generally you're going to pay for parking. It's something really minor. I don't know the exact amount, but like $1.50 for 2 hours or something like that. But, you know, that adds up into being a significant amount of money with all of these law-abiding citizens putting money into those meters and people coming by and collecting them. But if you don't pay those things and you get a ticket, the fine used to be $5 for the ticket, right? Which is negligible. They since increased that to $10. But I'm going to tell you why the just saying no to this nonsense, if enough people did it, it would completely cripple it. If you say, no, I'm not paying this ticket, I'm requesting a trial. I don't know how much it costs the city of Keene to have a parking ticket trial, but I promise you,
it's more than $10.
Yes, between the bailiffs and the judges and the clerks and all of the people who have to be there for that extra 10 or 15 minutes while they give you your stupid trial that they're probably going to find you guilty on anyway, significantly more than $10 that they would get from that parking ticket. So even if they find you guilty and you have to pay that $10, you cost them so much more than $10.
That is one of those levels where we get the government that we demand.
Yeah, and if more people did that, if more people just demanded a trial and just, yeah, you're going to waste a day doing this, but go ahead and waste a day. If you want parking tickets to go away, be committed to wasting a day to do this. Don't pay the fine. When I say that, I mean request a court date, request a trial, and they can't sustain that. Mm-hmm. Having to pay $100 for every single parking ticket trial that comes through. If there's 10 trials, that they make $100, but it costs them $1,000 to do that. If that happens day after day after day, they just stop right. They have one of two options. They can increase the parking ticket fine to $100 for a fine, which would make people, the normal law-abiding citizen, just absolutely revolt if they went to pay their parking ticket in City Hall, here's your $10. And go, oh, no, it's increased to $100 now. That normal average citizen would also then be requesting a trial. It would not be able to sustain itself if more people just said no. Mm-hmm. But most people just drop by and say, yeah, here's your $10, whatever, thanks, I'll be on my way now.
Yeah, this is a big part of what has led to the state being the size that it is that people do not demand that they actually go to trial when these laws that don't harm anyone, that are absolutely ridiculous, are broken. So the state has gotten used to, well, no one demands a trial anyway, so I can just nitpick further and further and further. And they're incentivized to do this because it's just more money in their pocket with the same amount of work.
That's essentially why, I mean, here in Keene, I have gotten parking tickets relatively recently, but it was on my Ford. If I was in my Eclipse, I would not have gotten that ticket because they know me and they know I'm going to come in and request a trial, and it's just going to waste a bunch of their time and it's not going to be beneficial to any party, and I'm going to walk away having paid $10 but costing them a lot of money in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the phones, and that's beneficial for us, for the Keene Libertarians, but we shouldn't be so it shouldn't be where, oh, I see that Bitcoin.com sticker and that LRN.FM sticker, I'm just going to keep walking, pretend like I don't see it. That doesn't benefit the average person. We need the average person to be out there doing this as well. We need 50 or 100 people every single week in there demanding trials for parking tickets. And the parking tickets and parking meters will go away very, very quickly.
Well, and it goes all the way with all of the superfluous things. Like, we do not need speeding tickets. That isn't helping society.
No. But let's go to the phones. We have David calling from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, over the years, I've given you reports of about, close, literally, I counted them up, about coming up on 24 different New Mexico government officials that have been convicted of committing or adjudicated to have committed crimes, especially embezzlement,
and
for instance.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's one of them. Monica Zamora hasn't been convicted of anything. She's just been civilly sanctioned in the form of a reversal by the New Mexico Court of Appeals, where the New Mexico Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel, unanimously said that the lower court judge at the time, M. Monica Zamora, had violated the law, and they reversed the illegally trafficking of my children committed by Monica Zamora. They reversed that and vacated her decision. This ties into that, ironically, that you ask.
That's the one name you've said often enough that I've memorized is all.
Yes, and the other one is John J. Romero Jr. That's, and in the trial where I was before M. Monica Zamora, and she decided against me illegally, and I took her to the Court of Appeals and beat her, my three big judges, to her zero judges. In that trial, I happened to have discovered where another tens of thousands of estimated taxpayer dollars in the state of New Mexico are being embezzled or illegally used. And I was going to point out, there's another sheriff here reading KRQE.com, former New Mexico sheriff under investigation for embezzlement. This is just one more. But it's notable in this article that Hector Balderas, hi Hector, the Attorney General of the state of New Mexico, and Brian Colon, hi Brian, the state auditor in the state of New Mexico, are both investigating this embezzlement. And that's notable because I have spoken to Brian Colon personally on several occasions and took the time to file formal report as per their reporting to the state auditor. I filed their formal report on this embezzlement, and Brian Colon, the state auditor in New Mexico, didn't seem to be interested in the embezzlement. That I can literally prove it. I have all the evidence necessary to prove this embezzlement. So, Brian, since you're interested in embezzlement, as cited here at KRQE.com, former New Mexico sheriff under investigation for embezzlement, since you're interested in that embezzlement,
David, I sincerely doubt that this guy is listening to Free Talk Live.
Oh, I guarantee you that he will hear about this within 48 hours, as will Hector Balderas, the AG,
because
whom I
the
also
Arizona,
filed.
Network?
Whom, yeah, yes. And Hector, I also filed, reported to the Attorney General's office about these things, too. So since you're interested in this embezzlement, you should also be interested in the embezzlement, which I can prove, Hector Balderas and Brian Colon in the state of New Mexico. There you go.
Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, David. A lot of names there that I don't care at all about. But I mean,
but you get some fair warning if you're in Arizona, if you run into these people. New Mexico.
But you are out there fighting the fight that you care about, David, and I do commend that. So good on you for that. Obviously, I mean, he's not wrong. New Mexico is clearly filled with corruption and embezzlement and stuff. So I wouldn't want to stay there if it was me. I'd rather go to New Hampshire or somewhere that's at least marginally less corrupt.
Same here.
603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. When we get back, we're going to talk about Bitcoin and the New York City mayor who is being paid in it. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Pigless Mountaineer.
And we do have a story coming up about the new New York City Mayor, Eric Adams, who's evidently very crypto-friendly. I think he said during his campaign that he wanted to make New York City, basically, he wants it to be like Keene. He probably doesn't even know about Keene, about the existence of Keene, because that kind of cryptocurrency person, they don't care about the ideas of cryptocurrency and the utilities of cryptocurrency and what it could do to defund the state. They care about, ooh, money go up, me richer type of stuff. And that's my feeling from Eric Adams based on some of the stuff he said and based on just his political positions. He's not a libertarian. He's not coming at Bitcoin from a libertarian perspective. He's coming at it from a I want to make money perspective. And I guess that's okay because it does bring in more people, but it doesn't make me respect the guy. But before we go into him and his taking payments in Bitcoin, we have Jack on the line from Ocean Shores. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I apologize. Person with the letter, what was his name? The original Bitcoin person?
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Is there any more origin story to that? I'm just curious.
So is the rest of the world, man.
It's incredibly mysterious.
So this person...
Could it have been of a government that did it? I don't think so.
People have floated that conspiracy.
Is it extremely
unlikely?
Technically. It is technically possible. However, if so, then this is the government's own suicide.
So Satoshi Nakamoto, for those who aren't aware, was the person who created the white paper from which Bitcoin was created. I think he also created the first Bitcoin mining program. He was the creator, or they, or she, or them, it, or we don't know because we don't know anything about Satoshi Nakamoto, but they were the creator of Bitcoin, like the actual literal creator. And in the early days of Bitcoin, I think it was bitcointalk.org or something like that. I don't remember the exact website, but Satoshi Nakamoto, there was a way to subscribe to his newsletters, and every so often you'd receive a newsletter from Satoshi Nakamoto, and it would be generally, there were some of them that were all about, you know, destroying the current financial institutions because they were evil and they were corrupt and they were doing horrific things to people. And then Satoshi disappeared. I'm sorry?
He just disappeared off the face of the earth. Yes. That's what's so interesting.
And then suddenly, nothing from Satoshi Nakamoto.
Weird.
And since you asked if it could be the government, so here's the thing. The government is doing their own version of this anyway. It's called a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, which is in many ways like cryptocurrency, except that it's state-run, it's coercive, it's violent, it's centralized.
And it won't be cryptographic.
Yeah, it's not cryptographic. It doesn't actually make use of the breakthrough in technology that cryptocurrency is.
Yeah, so in other words, these central banks could have created these digital currencies without Bitcoin ever existing.
And that's the kind of product they want, the kind of product where they're in control of it, they get to decide who uses it and when, it's completely centralized and authoritarian. That's what they want.
Yeah, it is, sadly. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Jack. So New York City Mayor Eric Adams, even in the midst of a crypto slump, they write, isn't backing out of his plans to take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Well, and just real quick, that makes it a better idea. So, I mean, if your plan was to get paid in Ethereum and Bitcoin, and, oh no, now the price is suddenly lower, I mean, you're going to get paid the same amount of dollars, which is now a greater number of Bitcoins and Ethereum.
If so, you believe that Bitcoin and Ethereum are going to increase in value again.
Well, I mean, okay, sure. Whether that's a good idea depends on if you think it'll increase in value. But it is either way a greater number at this point. So, and
it is.
And if you look at their track record, they go down and then they go back up higher than they were. Is the standard method so far?
I don't remember when Bitcoin hit its peak of $68,000, but it was at $62,000 not terribly long ago. So now, if it's at $36,000 again, it means that instead of buying 0.01 Bitcoin, you can use that same amount of money to buy 0.02 Bitcoin. And you may think, oh, well, so those people who had Bitcoin, they lost all this money. Yes, potentially, but I'll point you back to that Twitter account and the 500% increase that people would have had if they had used their stimulus checks from the government to buy cryptocurrency, to buy Bitcoin instead of televisions or whatever.
Yeah, and it is worth pointing out what this is good for, because I got into an argument with someone and they're like, well, you know, if you have this money for your expenses and it's suddenly worth, you know, half as much, that's going to be a problem. It's like, okay, yeah, it is not good for an emergency expense account. What
sure.
It is good for is a long-term savings plan, because even the people who's like, oh, but it's so volatile. Okay, but if, for example, you had bought in when it was $17,000, which was an absolute peak that it immediately crashed from, and you'd held on to it, even now when it is in a slump, it would still be worth like twice as much.
Yeah, I remember that. I think Bitcoin fell to below $5,000 after mm-hmm. hitting $17,000. It took a really, really long time for it to recover mm-hmm. and start its trajectory back upward. But it did, and it reached a new peak of, I think, $61,000 or something like that. And then more recently, $68,000. I don't know what Bitcoin is going to do next, but I do know. Well, I don't know this, but I believe in the long run that whatever Bitcoin is at now, eventually it's going to be 10 times that, and eventually it's going to be 100 times that, because there are only 21 million Bitcoins that are ever going to exist.
And it's also worth pointing out that since this space, I mean, when people were just getting into it, sure, it made you a ton of money to just buy some Bitcoin and hold on to it.
Yeah.
But now that this space has been established, I mean, there are a bunch of exchanges, and a lot of people aren't just on the level of, I can acquire this, but they're able to trade it. So anyone who was like, huh, this looks like it's crashing, but I'm on an exchange where I can borrow some, and they borrowed some Bitcoin, well, now that it crashed, it's going to be a lot easier for them to pay back that Bitcoin that they borrowed, and they can still make money off of it. So, I mean, it is continuously rewarding the people who are getting into it.
Absolutely. And minor correction here, because they go on, Adams officially received his first paycheck yesterday, which was converted to Bitcoin and Ethereum through cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. So he did not receive his paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum. He used his paycheck to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum from Coinbase. There's an enormous difference between the two. And no one ever called in to remind me what the name of that website was. But these websites do exist where you can send your check directly off to someone, and they will immediately convert it into cryptocurrency and send you your paycheck in that cryptocurrency. You can do it for as little as 1% of your check or up to 100% if you wanted. According to the New York Post, the New York City mayor receives biweekly checks of about $5,900, amounting to a salary of more than $250,000 a year. I did not realize the New York City mayor made so much money.
Oh, yeah. Well, and given that, and as always with politics, that is what it appears that they're making. The fact of the matter is that they are doing favors for people who are going to repay those favors in the future. When he's done being mayor of New York, he's going to be paid for speaking exorbitant amounts of money.
Not to mention, he probably gets a meal stipend, a gas stipend, all of that sort of stuff. And not to mention all the people who are like, hey, let me buy you dinner tonight and talk to you about this bill proposal I have or something like that. So, yeah.
And the possibility of a book deal and all of that.
Adams did not reveal how much of his check is split between Bitcoin and Ethereum, but if the crypto market continues to trend downwards, the funds from Adams' first check may quickly evaporate. Please. It's not going down to zero. Take a relax, all right, guys? 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on this, or if you remember the name of that website that allows you to send your paycheck through direct deposit directly to a crypto exchange, give us a call. It is Free Talk Live, where we love Bitcoin. We talk about it quite a lot because it's the most powerful tool that we've ever seen to defund the state in the war and to establish liberty in our lifetimes. And that means something to us here on Free Talk Live. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Bigless Mountaineer.
Talking here about Mayor Adams, who is the mayor of New York City, the new mayor of New York City. You may think, oh, well, this guy sounds pretty good because he's into Bitcoin. No, he's your same old politician. He promised to do whatever health experts recommended he should do about COVID-19.
So this is another example of a stopped clock being right twice a day.
Yeah, he's not going to come in here and shake things up or anything like that. And he's not going to undo New York City's massive regulation apparatus that prevents people from using cryptocurrency in New York City. But he did announce that he would take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin last November. And again, I hate that phrasing because he's not taking his paychecks in Bitcoin. He's using his paychecks to buy Bitcoin. And there are methods in place. See, when I hear this, I think, oh, okay, well, this New York City must have Bitcoin.
Well, the imaginary entity that is New York City, it doesn't own any Bitcoin to pay him in Bitcoin.
You don't think so? The federal government has cryptocurrency. I'm sure the state of New Hampshire has some Bitcoin.
Wait, the federal government itself owns Bitcoin? That I find difficult to believe. Now,
they have Bitcoin.
Ah, there is that. Oh, you mean the Bitcoin that they've gotten from, say, stealing it from the people that they kidnap?
Well, that's how they steal. That's how they acquire all of their money, is ultimately by stealing it.
That's a fair point. But I don't think the city of New York has, and I could be off on this.
I don't know if they have or not.
Maybe the city of New York has, you know, raided people and found a way to steal their Bitcoin because they had the private key written down somewhere.
Or by contrast, he orders the New York City Treasury. I don't know how that works. He orders the New York City to open a cryptocurrency exchange and say, hey, you have to pay me, and this is the only form of money I'm taking. So you're going to have to buy Bitcoin and send that Bitcoin to me.
Well, I'm glad he didn't do it that way, actually.
Why?
Because if he'd done that, then New York City would already have its own Bitcoin wallet. And when Bitcoin or whatever replaces the U.S. dollar, it would be ready to make that transition more smoothly. And frankly, I want the most authoritarian governments to have the biggest problem moving from authoritarian models to libertarian models.
That's fair. But I still am going to take issue with the phrasing that he's taking his paychecks in Bitcoin. But the move came out of a Twitter exchange between Adams and Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who said he would receive his next paycheck in Bitcoin. Adams wanted to take things a bit further, though, electing to get not one, but three paychecks, in digital currency. I've also noticed this growing trend of using digital currency and virtual currency in place of cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. as though these things are just completely equivalent. And
oh, that's entirely intentional. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
The purpose of this, they want people to believe that cryptocurrency is the same as Bitcoin, is the same as digital currency.
I don't think they do, because is there a long game here that the central bank's digital currency, the normies out there just go, oh, well, it's just like Bitcoin. It's Bitcoin.
Exactly. And it's not even a long game, because the Federal Reserve just released a statement saying that we are looking into what it takes to make a central bank digital currency. And they've actually said, hey, if you want to weigh in on this, here's where to send us, you know, your thoughts or questions or concerns or information. But they're
no,
like,
thank
yes,
you,
we're
Federal Reserve. I have my own paper shredder.
Right. But they're like, yep, we are definitely going to make a central bank digital currency soon. So, yeah, right now they have a vested interest in people believing that all digital currency is the same as Bitcoin, is the same as cryptocurrency.
Mayor Adams is but one of a number of high-profile figures to take their paychecks in cryptocurrency. NFL players, including Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr., and Tom Brady, have also chosen to convert a portion, if not their entire salaries, into cryptocurrency. And the one that I didn't know had done that was Tom Brady, which is surprising considering I live in New Hampshire, where people, despite him having left New England, the football team, to go somewhere else, they still love him. They still love the football team here, but they still love him as well. So I would have expected that of all the New Englanders I know who are into Bitcoin, one of them are like, hey, did you know Tom Brady is also into Bitcoin? And this led me to an article. Go ahead.
I think it's one of those, if General Patton moves to China, they're still going to worship him.
Yes, fair point.
Because, I mean, to a large extent, sports are a stand-in for war. And so this is the great warrior who has represented them in the past. So even when he leaves New England, they still go, yeah, you're the one that fought for us.
And he did for a very long time. Isn't dude like in his 40s by now?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, dude. And I don't know what the status is, because I don't pay attention to it, but the last I heard from a friend of mine who does pay attention to it, he might go to yet another Super Bowl, which would be like 8, I think, maybe 9, I don't know.
He has had a very long and distinguished career.
At some point,
kind of reminds me of John Elway, who had also a very long and distinguished career.
But nowhere near as many records, man. That's what's so bizarre about this guy.
I'm actually not sure on that one.
But
I know there was a lot of ranting and raving about it, but I've never been a sports fan, so yeah. I don't know any of this stuff.
I haven't either, but I do know the name Tom Brady. And I'm looking into this, I came across this article where he traded a Bitcoin to a fan for his 600th touchdown football.
And I am very glad to see a good or service being denominated in price in Bitcoin.
So,
how much does this cost? Not $35,000, not $45,000, one Bitcoin.
This market doesn't come to us from like ESPN or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about it. It does go into some stats here, but at a glance, it looks like they're telling you about Patriots stats or Tampa Bay Buccaneers, apparently, stats, but they're actually not. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady is giving a fan one Bitcoin in exchange for his 600th career touchdown football. He threw the record-setting touchdown last Sunday. No NFL player had ever thrown 600 touchdowns, apparently. But Mike Evans, the wide receiver who caught it, had not realized the ball was a record-setting one and gave the ball to a fan in the stands.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks.
So to me, one of the big things that this really illustrates, especially with the New York mayor. So a lot of people are like, we won't get our freedom until we fight for it. And when they say fight, they mean like literally cause people harm in order to get their liberty. And it's like, no. Even the authoritarians recognize value when it's value. So if you want to get the police to act in a non-aggressive manner, here's what you do. You get rich with things like cryptocurrency and precious metals and whatever other thing you can do to be smart, go around the standard way, innovate a new way of doing things, and get rich. And then you pay them as security guards because they know what value is, and you just have to operate on that.
So after the team realized the importance of the ball, the TV broadcast caught Buccaneers officials negotiating with the fan to get the ball back. Brady addressed the situation during something, saying, "I got the ball back." There was a lot of negotiation in order to get the ball back, and it turns out that it was Byron Kennedy, the fan who got the ball. He's going to receive two Brady signed jerseys, or he did receive two signed jerseys, a signed helmet, a signed Evans jersey, plus his cleats, a $1,000 store credit, season tickets for 2 years, and a Bitcoin. And that's the only part of this that I'm interested in, because I don't care about football, but if I found myself at a football game and I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there, they're like, "Hey, okay, we'll give you a Bitcoin." All right. Well, I can't take a Bitcoin right now, but in this hypothetical world where for some reason I'm at a football game, I'm also not facing federal charges that prohibit me from using Bitcoin. I'm like, "All right, sold. Yeah, you can have this ball. You want to pay me a Bitcoin for this ball? I'll absolutely do it." So that's cool. And I didn't know that he was one of the people interested in cryptocurrency.
And before we head out tonight, I want to say I am extremely grateful to the people that gathered in D.C. because as far as I can tell, there wasn't any violence or anything like that, because it is incredibly important that we maintain and continue our peaceful nature when we're doing these, when we're standing up for our rights, when we're doing rallies. We have to be the good guys. We have to be the ones who are doing things peacefully. That's why we're standing against tyranny, is because they don't do things peacefully.
Yeah, and they're looking for a reason to demonize us.
Absolutely.
So never give them that reason. Be as peaceful as you can, but can't just lay down for the forever. Be peaceful about saying no, exactly. I suppose. We're out of time for tonight, but you can join us in the meantime on our chat server. It's federated, so you don't have to worry about censorship from Discord. You can find it at chat.freetalklive.com.